All right, Bridgepoint, so glad you guys are tuning in today. Wherever you are that you're joining us, I'm pumped that you're here. We have watch parties happening across Pinellas County, folks joining on their phone, on their TVs at home, while they're traveling literally all over the country. I'm just glad that you're leaning into what God wants to do in and through our church today. But here's what I also want to acknowledge. Those watch parties, I hope y'all are getting a little bit rowdy today, because how good was this worship set? Oh my goodness. The band is bringing it. I hope you guys are commenting. If you're together, I hope that there was incredible worship. If you're by yourself, comment in the chat which of these songs, if you have to pick one, was your favorite this morning, okay? Let's get moving with what God's doing in this space. Here's what I also know. We need more watch parties happening across Pinellas County. So if you're interested in playing host to a watch party, you just got to be able to play the Bridgepoint service on a screen, have folks to your house, to a park, wherever you can get the service to broadcast it, creating a safe, socially distanced experience where we can be together. We need more of those, church. So let's get some leaders to rise up to that. Reach out to Scott Davis. If you're interested in that, just comment. Let somebody know. We can follow up with you on that. Good gracious, I'm fired up for today. Just getting to be in this room and in this experience with you, sensing what I believe God is up to. And as if that's not good enough, we're starting a brand new series today. Big shout out to Rob, who designed our graphic, took this shot. So cool what I believe God wants to do in this new series. Here's what this is all about, all right? If you're looking at this picture, you're thinking surrounded, there is so much going on in this picture all around this person. And I wonder how often we're finding ourselves in a season where this seems so accurately to describe us, right? The world just seems on fire with things going on all around us. Personal things, global things, big things, little things, heavy things, happy things, everything's buzzing all around. What do you do when you feel like you're surrounded? What's the next step? What's the next part of the journey? What does it look like to try to move forward when oftentimes in this year 2020, and maybe I'm speaking just personally here, but I can't tell you how frequently I have felt backed into a corner like, God, what are you doing? God, do you see this? Did you fall asleep on the world? Is that what's happened here? Our natural response in those moments as human beings is fight or flight, right? It's what we do. We get backed into the corner and some of us rise up and say, I'm about to fix this problem. We get backed in the corner and some of us flight. And in those moments, it often comes out as blame, comes out with assumptions. It comes out in attack with words towards other people or towards other groups that are different from us. What do you do when you're surrounded? What do you do in a year 2020 when everything's changing constantly? And is this the only way it is? I mean, do we just settle like this is 2020 and you and I, we just have to deal with it? This series is about the more that I believe you and I are looking for. It's about the call of a God whose mission and purpose for a church and for a group of people as individual followers of him that is so much bigger than any circumstance could overtake. And that's why I'm so pumped for this. I want to read to you. We're actually going to spend time over these next several weeks in one passage of scripture, unpacking it. One passage from this word. A guy named Paul was writing an early church, encouraging them that when things get difficult, and they will, here's what you can expect as followers of Jesus. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, I want you to consider what it could look like, one, to have access to the very thing God's talking about in this passage that Paul was writing. But two, does it look like the church is tapping into this? These things are affectionately known as the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. I want to read it to you. It goes like this. Paul's writing, early church, and he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. continues, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. That picture so describes that to me. There's flaming darts all around us right now. The passage continues. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for Paul, he's saying, that words may be given to him, and I hope to us, opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. That's a powerful statement. Paul understood, if you know anything about his journey, Paul understood what it felt like to be surrounded, to be backed into a corner, to not know where to turn next, to have so much flaming darts from the enemy all around him. Paul got it. Paul knew what that specific life was like, and Paul knew that when it got difficult, he knew that there had to be more. There had to be more for us as followers of Jesus. And that's what I appreciate about what Paul was writing to us, and I hope today is actually an encouragement to you. And here's why. If 2020 has taught us anything, it is that change and accompanied with things to grieve, or biblically what it's called is lament, those things can often come at you from every direction all at once. We actually just got finished studying the book of Ecclesiastes, where the writer was telling stories about Solomon's life, and Solomon even acknowledged there's going to be seasons in life, and that's okay. Feel what you feel. Acknowledge what's going on inside of you. But at the end of the day, Solomon taught us, we got to pursue our call of following God. Trusting, believing, hoping, and knowing that God had more for us in those moments. But just think about this year. We have pandemic implications that we're still dealing with that started back in March, right? Some of us have felt the loss of the freedom to go and do and be what we want to go and do and be. Some of us are wearing masks now, dealing with quarantine or self-isolation. Some of us dealing with illness specifically, or because of all these things, having it affect your job, losing your job, furloughed at your job, or at best having a different type of income in the process. And some of us have experienced or know people who have experienced death because of this pandemic season. But as if that didn't give us enough to lament and grieve over, the United States culture right now is at an all-time polarized, divisive moment. People recognizing and acknowledging and fighting for the end of systemic racism and patterns of oppression. Their voices are now being heard, but we're transitioning also into a political season where everybody says the problem is the other side. And everybody has an opinion towards that. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't fight for people and be a part of those change and those processes, and even being aware of politics around us and utilizing the voice that we are privileged to have because of the freedoms we know in this country. I'm not diminishing those things. But it's a lot all at once, right? And then you drop our church into the middle of that. Our church is now in a season of transition. And here's what we know about change. Change is hard. Change comes with loss. Loss always causes pain. And that pain, we have to take time to grieve, to understand, and ultimately to grow through it. That's a lot. And then if I'm just being honest, there are moments for me that I have not reacted well because I felt so surrounded. I have just popped off to my wife in comments that I didn't need to make just because I was just trying to take it all in. or my kids whom I love with all my heart, I'm finding myself with less patience for them just being kids and feeling the effects of quarantine and social distance as five-year-olds and three-year-olds. They're just as grieving and frustrated as I can be, but I find myself lacking patience. And then personally, because sometimes I question if I have a brain at all, my family's in the middle of a local move because we're making room for my mom to retire and move down to have a detached living space. This could be it for me. I have a kindergartner now starting this fall. And my goodness, there's so many decisions involved in this. And nobody warned me that 2020 was going to test all of these things all at once. Surrounded. I know it's not just me. Have you had the moments where you just wanted to give up? Have you had the moments where you've reacted out of fight? Have you had the moments where you know you're backed into the corner and everything within you wants to grieve, but at the same time, there's still so much flaming darts coming at us all at once? What then? And what about following Jesus? Like, isn't that why we do this? Isn't putting our faith in Jesus just supposed to magically take all this stuff away? No. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Following Jesus doesn't minimize difficulties. It doesn't erase life and the pains that come with it from happening. Following Jesus just offers us as believers an opportunity to change our perspective in the middle of it. That when we get surrounded, when there's so much going on all around us that's outside of our control, it offers us an opportunity to check our focus. And that's what this series is intended to be about. Because what if, church, what if God has a better way for us than fight or flight when we're surrounded? What if there's more for you? What if there's more to feel? What if there's more mission to do? What if there's more purpose to step into? And here's what I mean by that. Did you catch the very beginning of Paul's words to the early church in Ephesians chapter 6? Finally, he's beginning to wrap his letter up, acknowledging that trouble's going to happen. Finally, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Can I confess to you, believers, for just a moment? When I feel surrounded, I definitely have moments that I want to be strong. But I'm doing it in and of my own strength. And when I start reacting in and of my own strength, what I'm learning is that I end up causing more damage, hurting more people, and only working against myself. But Paul was reminding us that this journey and the moments when we feel surrounded, that's when those of us as believers, we tap into God's strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, in the power of the one who raised a dead Jesus back to life to set us free. When we get surrounded, my question to you for us as believers is, are we finding our strength in the right place? It's okay to not be okay. That's okay. It's okay to feel like you can't handle this weight. It's okay to feel like you can't take one more thing this year. It's okay to feel like you don't know what the next step is and that you feel stuck, backed into a corner and totally surrounded. It's okay to feel that way because you were never intended to carry the weight of your world on your shoulders anyway. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Can I ask you something? In seasons like this where there's so much to take in, so much to feel, reasons to grieve, to lament, to process, and hopefully some good things too. But in those moments, are you getting your strength from God? And can I ask you something? Are you talking to Jesus about these things? That's called prayer, right? Have you prayed to God lately? At all? Enough? Because if not, the reality is we know Jesus' offer was not that he was going to take away the pain of the world. Faith in Jesus is about something far much greater. That in the moments when we're surrounded, we find strength in him. Because as we invited earlier, the Holy Spirit, the presence of Almighty God, that resurrection power, ready for this, church, listen, is with and in us. Full confession. There's been moments in this season that I felt surrounded that I tried to fight of my own strength. And it made it worse. It hurt my family. It hurt my friends. It hurt my faith. But can I ask you something before we go any further? Because really understanding this, to know what it means to be in the Lord, is actually the most critical part of this faith journey. Do you know Jesus? I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm not even asking you if you tune in or before COVID regularly attended a church. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Can you say that you have a friendship with the God of the universe? Because that's where all of this hope, all of this strength, and the peace that can only come from God begins. It's in knowing the God of the universe and having a personal relationship with him. Because here's what's true. All of us have fallen short of a relationship with God and the plans and purposes that he had for our life. That's the common denominator of everybody that experiences and tunes in as a part of Bridgepoint. We're all broken people. We're all imperfect people. We're just the people that recognize our brokenness and are reaching out to the strong hand, the only hand, the mighty enough hand that can save us from ourselves. Because what happens is when we get surrounded in life, the Bible actually says at one point we were enemies of God because it was our pride that tried to fix ourselves. It was our selfishness, our self-centered focus, our desires, our way, our plans. I don't need you, God. I can handle myself. And when does that ever work out for us favorably? Do you know Jesus? Do you know that God, through what Jesus did on the cross, do you know that because Jesus has risen from the grave, defeating sin, our pride, defeating ourself forever, setting us free to be in relationship with God, that's the invitation of Jesus saying, stop fighting and rely on my strength and my might. And I'll be honest with you. Before we go any further into this series, if anyone tuning in right now doesn't say with the most assured confidence that exists, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of Jesus. I know him, that by faith I am in the Lord, then without going any further, start there. Start there to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, because that's where the power begins. That's where the hope is found. But church, can I caution you something? Because here's my concern for us, and it's natural, okay? It's what we all do. It's what we all know, that we may know that this is where our strength is found, but far too often when we get backed into a corner, I think we take those positions and we take being surrounded. We see the flaming darts of the enemy all around us. We see things that cause us to well up with emotion. So again, sometimes good, sometimes bad. And everything we see around us, we forget that our strength is in him, and we start trying to fight it ourselves. We start trying to pull ourselves up and to take care of this because I'm good enough and I'm strong enough and I can handle these things. And then often begins to work against us and our testimony of what God's doing. Because remember specifically what Paul said? I want you to hear this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Listen, everybody paying attention? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Listening to me, we don't wrestle. Paul's reminding us, this is not a fight against people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's something so much bigger and so much stronger. We wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is not a people problem. This is a sin problem. And as much as there's a God that's for us and for the plans and purposes he has for us, there is an enemy that is bent on our destruction. Church, I hope you hear loud and clear that oftentimes we find ourselves surrounded, and our natural response is to look at who's around us, to look at what's around us, to look at the circumstances around us, and to fight what we can see. But Paul's reminding us that that's not actually the fight that matters. And that's my concern for a lot of us as believers. We're not afraid to go out in strength. We're not afraid to respond. We're not afraid to take things into our own circumstances. But we end up fighting the wrong fights. The fights that don't produce the results that are kingdom focused. The fights that don't change and fight for cities and for people. The fights that end up hurting people even more. Fights that don't matter. And if we don't respond physically, it's that flight sense that if it's out of our control, then we start blaming. We start saying, they're wrong. They have a wrong mindset. Their ideology is wrong. It's incorrect. This is their problem, not mine. This is their disagreement. They're doing it wrong. They're ruining the country. They're attacking me. They're hurting their family. They're messing up their jobs. This is their problem. And we can get even really good at being backed into the corner, and our flight response allows us to make assumptions and assume things that are even incorrect stories and narratives about other people. So it's not our problem to be dealt with, it's their problem. But when we start assigning faces as our enemy, and we start assigning the circumstances, the factors, and the things that are surrounding us as the problem, we're ignoring the fact that Paul said, we don't wrestle flesh and blood. We don't fight people. We don't have an issue with what exists around us, and therefore we end up fighting the wrong fights. What Paul's reminding us is this: we don't fight people. We fight for people. Church, the fight that's worth it, the fight that builds the kingdom, the fight that is missional, will never be to tear down people. We fight for people. That's what this whole thing has always been. Bridgepoint's mission has never been, we will help people, all the wrong people, to be identified and fully aware of their wrongness. That's not why we're here. Instead, Bridgepoint's mission is helping people, all people, to get closer to God. We don't fight people. We fight for them. And that's a big shift, because far too often we try to play the victim. We try to play the woe is me game. We try to play the blame game so that none of this is ever our problem and it's always everybody else's. And we end up just fighting people and never accomplishing anything missional. Never being a part of anything kingdom driven. Never being a part of the answer that our world so desperately needs. What does Pinellas County need more than anything else? What does Florida need more than anything else? What does the United States of America, what does the world, what does your neighbor, what does your crazy uncle, what do your friends, what are all these people ultimately searching for? Well, we know the answer to that. It's Jesus. But if we get busy fighting the wrong fights and fighting them, then we never get to fight for them and introduce them to the answer that all of the world is searching for. People aren't the enemy. People are the mission. People aren't your enemy. People are the mission. We have to stay focused on the right things in order to fight the right battles. And here's the side note, just in case you forgot, Jesus has already won the victory. We know how this turns out. Darkness loses, evil loses, sin is defeated, and death will reign no more. But we're fighting fights as if our lives depend on those things. Church, Jesus is alive. And since when has impossible ever stopped our God? He's not going to run out of miracles anytime soon. We just declared that earlier today. We fight for people. And when we get surrounded, we have an option to fight those that are around us or to stay so laser focused on the mission that when we feel backed into the corner, we are then positioned for God to show up and do something that only God can do, that changes the landscape of our world around us. How often are we leaving that option on the table because we're fighting the wrong battles? So what does it look like? Church, what do you do in those moments? It's finding strength from God, right? But what's the exact response? Where do we turn next? Like what's the step that we take? Paul actually wrote the armor of God passage shortly after he gave an example of what it looks like to fight right. To fight the right battles, to fight for people, to understand that people aren't the enemy, but instead the mission. Paul actually gave us a picture just three chapters earlier in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul was facing trouble. Again, if you know anything about Paul's history, he had a hard life that God used to advance the story of Jesus. But right in the midst of his trouble, here's what Paul said, his response, when he was surrounded, flaming darts all around, chaos all around, uncertainty all around. Here was Paul's response. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father. Paul prayed. When trouble came, Paul didn't fight. Paul prayed. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father. This magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I asked him to strengthen me. Remember? It's Jesus. We're gonna stay in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Paul said, I ask God to strengthen you by his spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. That Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its lengths. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives. Full in the fullness of God. Lives that matter. Lives that impact. Lives that are missional. Lives that fight for people. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. But get this, he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah. That's Jesus, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Here's our common issue, church. We found ourselves surrounded, and 2020 has put us right in that position more often than any other year I can remember. And we get to this place where we want to fight our way out of it, where we want to blame, assume, read into other things so that we aren't the issue. And in so doing, we leave the power of God with God. And it's as if we're saying, I'm fine. I got this. Can I caution you on something, church? It's time for us to lay down the weapons we use in this world, because that's not happening. It's time to lay down the divisive social media posts, chasing out full-on conspiracy theories. It's time to lay down uninvited criticisms, assumptions, gossip, rumors, selfishness, our own agenda, our own thoughts, our uninvited contributions to an organization, because those things will certainly help you fight. But those things aren't going to be what fights for people. And so instead, can I give you two responses to this service? Number one, the church, you need to come back for the rest of this series. Do everything it takes to tune into the Surrounded series. Next week, as a matter of fact, you absolutely don't want to miss it. It's going to be unlike anything else we've done. We're going to get back to fighting the right battles in the right way. But number two, church, in response to all that God is doing in our world, in our home, even in our church and our own lives, for the next 2 weeks specifically as a part of this series, we're calling our church to prayer. We're going to spend time collectively praying as a church. Why? Because we're going to fight as God invited us to. So tune in every day to some of our social media. You'll see different devotionals and avenues that hopefully remind you to be praying in this season. Praying for your church, praying for you as part of the mission, praying for what God wants to do in our home and literally around the world. But church, we're going to pray. And that journey, that fight, it's laying down weapons that look like the way other people in our city, other friend groups, other family members fight. You know what our weapon is? Closeness with God. Worship. Prayer. So, church, I'm going to actually invite you to respond today just like Paul did. Remember what he said in Ephesians 3? For this reason, because we fight, I get down on my knees. Would you join me? If you're at a watch party, if you're watching by yourselves, yeah, I'm talking to you. Get down on my knees. There's nothing magical or mystical about the posture. It's just that we want our outward to match what I hope is your inward heart response. Because church, we begin a journey of recognizing that 2020 has been a year where we've been surrounded. And now is our time not to fight people, but to renew our hearts for the mission to fight for them. I hope you're on your knees this morning if you're able. And if so, would you join me in prayer? God, you are so much bigger than we can wrap our minds around. Your plans for us are so much wider and so much further and so much wilder than we can even understand or think to ask you for. So God, we're asking for that, for all the believers that are tuning in. For a church that you've positioned and given a mission in Pinellas County and beyond to use it for influence and God for our world. But God, we have to start this moment with confession. God, we've not fought the right fights. We've not fought in the right ways. In fact, when we look around, we often end up fighting flesh and blood because that's what we see around us. So God, forgive us when we get it wrong. Forgive us for trying to do this on our own. Forgive us of fighting in our own strength. God, today, would you make us a church made up of individuals that fight the right way, fighting for people, fighting for our home, fighting for your kingdom. So Jesus, we'll continue to worship today. We'll continue to worship this week. We'll continue to worship this year. We'll continue to worship when we're surrounded because Jesus, this is how we fight our battles. And thank you, Jesus, that you made this possible. We'll sing to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.